Hey, welcome to The Interactive Journey. Come along with us as we share the stories of parents, children, and professionals navigating a challenging world of various diagnoses, life transitions, and being human.
Jared, thank you so much for hopping on with us. This is, you know, we're really laid back, really informal. We just want to hear about you and your journey and tell us all about Puzzle Pieces Squared and why you decided that now is the right time to start that and how your journey brought us to where you are today.
All right, well, let me back up for a second. First of all, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it. I've been following you guys from afar a little bit, especially since you and I, Rachel, talked a while back. I also do my homework. I listen to a couple episodes of your podcast and stuff. I know your structure. I know how you guys are. The rapid fire thing, but
not till the end.
Are you stressing about that?
No, I don't stress. I don't know how many people actually listen to who they're going to be interviewed by and everything, but I always think it's important to kind of know a little bit, do your homework. So, you know, I listened to a couple different of the podcasts. Cutting for a Cause, I think, was one. Four Faces with I forget her name. Facebook all the time. Yep, Isabel, that was another. And then Florence was another. You know, I heard all about her dog. Yes. So I do all the, you know, I make sure to follow what's going on. So I think it's important. Also important to know your audience as well. So I do appreciate A, you having me on, and B, I appreciate you accommodating my schedule because I have no time. I've been going since 3 this morning. So I have no time ever. So the fact that you guys are on later at night, I appreciate it. So thank you.
Yeah, we listen a little too. You and Big Dog Dave.
That one is funny. So that one's just, so he was a buddy of mine through the fitness industry, and I helped him out a lot, like many years ago, and he became like family. And he actually came up with this amazing idea of doing something that he loves, which is these like pop collections and stuff. And he created this auction, you know, out of the blue. Like, he just reached out to me. I think this year is going to be his 4th year. He's doing it in April. He reached out to me out of the blue and was like, listen, man, I want to do something for you. You've done so much for me. I know what you're trying to do. I don't know what it's going to turn into, but I think this would be an incredible thing. And I was blown away. And then so that the first year I didn't get interviewed, he just ran it and it was great. He reached out to me and was like, here's a check, bud, which was awesome. Nice. The second year he was like, listen, Jared, I think it'd be great if you're on, because I think people, he goes, you have a presence that just nobody can deny. And he goes, it'll be amazing to hear everything. And I think it'll even be better. So he interviewed me and it ended up being a really successful, even more successful event. So he's had it now. This will be the 4th year coming up. And I'm very thankful for him. And it was a brainchild of his own. I said nothing, man. He just reached out to me with this amazing concept. And I, my family and Puzzle Pieces are so grateful for that he's able to do that for us and that he came up with it. Amazing.
Do you want to tell people about it? Tell them a little bit about that so then they know, you know, a little bit more about it.
About
the event,
about
what he does, like what he does.
Yeah, so what he does, and I probably cannot do it justice, but what he does is, he has these, they're like these little collectors. He has all these artists that they auction off, like these collector figurine pops. Some of them are hand painted. Some of them are created for that event. Some of them are rare. All these different people that he has come in contact with the pops all, from all over the place, like not just around here. And they all put them out for our cause and they auction them off for a 24-hour time span. And all the money that's raised goes to P2 or Puzzle Pieces Squared.
That's great.
And you'll find that I'll say P2 sometimes because Puzzle Pieces Squared is the name. But as things change in the world, sometimes the puzzle piece doesn't like to be said as much as adults get older and stuff. So we have now changed it to P2. But just so you know, sometimes I use both words.
Okay. Well, we now work with adults, so they don't like to be called interactive kids. So we'll say IK instead. So we totally get where you're coming from.
See? Perfect. Yeah. You got to make everybody happy.
Yeah. So let's go backwards. Tell us a little bit about, like, where did this even start from?
So when my twins were born and everything, you know, we knew that something was up. Like, we didn't know really what's going on. Now, to give you an idea, my twins are now 19. So to give you an idea, like, we knew that my one son was performing, or, you know, hitting different milestones at different times. And we just thought it was like a twin thing, you know, like, you know, one was just, you know, a little bit more advanced, or one was moving just a little bit faster, or something along those lines. Later on down the line, we found out that my son Jacob was autistic. Now, listen, I'm very fortunate. My children are verbal, communicative, you know, it's just, we don't use the word anymore that people used to use with Asperger's. Now we say more socially functioning issues differently. So that's my one son, Brendan. My other son was more on the cognitive scale. So they were at complete opposite ends. Again, like I said, both verbal and communicative, but one needed more, you know, special teaching, more of a smaller classroom, stuff like that, where the other was more like, social cues were a little bit misunderstood, sense of humor a little bit misunderstood, the gray, everything's black and white, you can't say that, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, is my other son. So what ended up happening was, we actually didn't find out that my son Brendan was autistic until he was, I might get this wrong a little bit, but until he was 7 or 8. He was actually in a hospital for something else. And when he was in the hospital for something else, during all those treatments and stuff, they brought us in and they said, are you aware that your son's autistic? And we said, yeah, oh yeah, we know his brother's autistic. He goes, no, no, your son here, he's autistic as well. So, like, we didn't know originally that both of our sons were autistic. My other son, definitely, you would know that there was something. You know, you would know that just, you know, certain things weren't clicking right away. Certain things weren't working. He needed things explained a little bit differently, at different levels, stuff like that. So what ended up happening was, my wife was a teacher in Hennen Township. And she was a math teacher. I want to say it was like 6th to 9th grade, I think. And I might get the grades wrong. But she was a math teacher. And when she was there, my kids were able to go to school there. So my kids went to school there and everything was fine. Later on, my wife got ill. And when my wife got ill, she couldn't work anymore. And when she couldn't work anymore, they didn't let my kids go there anymore. So when my kids couldn't go to Hennen Township anymore, they now had to go to Cherry Hill, which is where we live. So when they went to go to Cherry Hill, my son, Brendan, no problem. They just put him in a certain classroom. They gave him, you know, an aide to help out here or there, but for the most part, he just kind of did his own thing. Sometimes he was pulled out for certain things. Are you guys there?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. you know, sometimes was, I thought I heard an echo, you know, pulled out for certain things with the aide, stuff like that, to kind of help him go through social skills and stuff like that. But that was basically him. He was pretty much okay. My other son, they had difficulty finding placement for him. And it wasn't until, I think it was the 4th or 5th school, which was the last one before they would have to admit that they'd have to pay funding to have him go out of school placement. And that was Kingston. Mm-hmm. And when he went to Kingston and everything, I decided, now I don't know if you can tell, I'm a very passionate, in-your-face type of guy. I decided, like, at that moment, that I was going to go full throttle into whatever. Like, I was going to be there. I was going to do everything. I was going to be the most involved, because now we have a path. We have a projection. We know what's going on. I'm going to be there for everything. So the only way I knew how to do that at the time was to volunteer my time or to raise money, which at the time, Autism Speaks was running their walk in like right outside Mount Holly area.
Yeah.
I think they run it every year. And yep. They were running their, they did at the time. They were running their walk. And I said, all right, you know what? I'm going to raise money. I'm going to raise money. I'm going to raise the most money. I'm going to do everything. I'm going to go full throttle into it. You know, just hit the gas running and just go. So at the time I was in the fitness industry, I had a gym that I was part of. I had tons of clients. I talked to everybody, and it ended up being that my son rose the second most amount of money. The only thing that beat us, the only group that beat us, was the Holman car dealership. Okay. Wow. So I rose all this money, and you would think it's great. My son got a plaque. We got photos. It was like incredible. Right. So the next day, well, not the next day, cause that was the weekend, but the Monday, I'm in there and my clients are like, well, how do you feel? You know, how do you feel about raising all that money? And I said, you know what? I just don't know how I feel. Where'd the money go?
Right.
I'm like, so then I started doing some research and I looked up Autism Speaks. Now, listen, I will never, and Rachel knows this because I've said it, I will never talk down on any foundation out there or anything. But when you have a foundation that's as big as Autism Speaks, and even then it was big, now it's even bigger. But when you have a foundation that's big like that and you look up that only 10% is actually going to families and everything else goes to salaries and advertisement and marketing and just all that stuff. I was like, and then it's global. So I'm like, so how much actually goes to the tri-state area? 1%. So I'm like, that is a great cause for research 50 years from now. That right. is a great cause to help families and areas and schools and everything. You know, 25 years from now, they might, or maybe they'll choose you and maybe you'll be lucky. But for the most part, it's all going to research. It's not going to help anybody right now. So I said, you know what? I don't like it. So I said to my wife, I said, Trish, I think I'm going to start just educating people on Facebook. Now you got to remember, this is 11 years ago or whatever, right? I mean, autism is huge now.
Yeah. But
11 years ago, it wasn't that big. You know, no. So I just started educating people on I created a Facebook page and I just started educating, putting out tips, putting out, you know, different strategies, how to, you know, how you cope with this, how you deal, who you could reach out to for this, whatever. And I wasn't happy. It wasn't enough. And I turned to her and I said, I got to run an event. I got to do something. I got to run an event because I looked up, well, you can't really run an event if you're not a foundation. You can't be a foundation without your 501c3 label. So right. I looked up how to do that. And I went to an accountant and I said, hey, you know, I want to do this. I want to set up a 501c3. He said, it's not going to happen. He goes, they're virtually impossible to get, especially the smaller you are. The bigger you are, it's easier. The smaller you are, it's hard. And I said, all right, well, I'm going to look into it. So I started researching it. Now, I'm a workaholic, so I was doing work on this between midnight and 2:30 in the morning, okay? Working on trying to figure out ways that I could file and get this. And I found this case, like, where these small businesses were filing I don't know if it was a lawsuit, but they were definitely filing something against the IRS that bigger conglomerate, bigger corporations were able to get 501c3s a lot easier than smaller ones. And I filed under that. 3 months later, I had my 501c3. So I got my 501c3 and I'm like, all right, what do I want to do? I ran a health fair. I only brought in about $1,200. It's great. But I was like, no. I need a mission statement and I need an event. And I created this mission statement where we were going to help up to four families or, you know, in the local tri-state area. And it was basically things that I watched that I went through with my kids that insurance didn't pay for. Different therapies, occupational therapy, ABA therapy, respite care, you know, sensory items, all that kind of stuff. And I was like, you know what? If I was stuck back then, how many people can I help now? So I decided to create that mission statement and I created that I'm going to have this big cocktail gala every year. And okay. I'm a very stubborn person. And, you know, my wife at the time when I first said it, she goes, okay, all right, sure. And I was like, no, I'm going to do it. And it took a couple months. And then she saw what was going on and she's like, all right, we're doing this, huh? And I said, absolutely. And we had this, we had our first gala. It was at the King's Grant condo room in outside Marlton.
Yeah.
And, you know, we did it. We got 126 people there. We raised $7,800. It was this great thing. And then I just started helping families. And it kind of grew from there. So at that point, my mission statement was to help four. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're going on almost 9 years of since the Facebook page. Okay. I'm getting ready for my seventh cocktail gala. We've helped 34 families and six tri-state school districts since. Okay. And when I say we've helped with everything from with the schools. I created where they were running into issues with the bus coming to get them for life skill trips. And the teachers were trying to do these, like, I remember it was so sweet. They were trying to do these, like, make these bracelets and sell the bracelets and do all this stuff to try to, and they weren't coming up with enough money. And the buses were leaving these kids at the, they weren't reliable. And I stepped in and I just called the bus company and paid the whole year. So they never had to worry about any of that. We've done, I actually just talked to a teacher today who's excited about coming to the gala. I provided her with all the life skills, the ovens, the refrigerators in the classroom for the kids so that they don't have to leave. You know, they're able to do everything in there and work on how to use things and put their lunches, all that kind of stuff. I did that. That was in a, I hope I'm not getting this wrong. I think a Kensington school district. So just different things. But more importantly, it's offering help when they're being told no in every different direction. Mm-hmm. I'm told all the time when I talk, because I talk to every family individually. Every grant recipient talks to me at some point. Okay. I interview them. I talk to them personally. And the first thing they say to me is, I didn't know there was help out there. They tell me I support Autism Speaks. I'm like, well, that's great. She goes, but they don't help me. Like, you know, right. They help form a community, sure, but they're not giving them what they need. So I decided to really step in and be that missing piece that brings these families or these teachers in the school districts together.
It's like more of a direct, like you're helping them on a more direct level than they're seeing in these other organizations, which is they're feeling.
There's no red tape. There's nothing that they have to jump through. You know, they fill out an application, which is really like five questions. I call them, I interview, and I can sometimes get it done in 3 days, you know, and I've had people be like, I would have reached out to you sooner if I knew. Like, people are just like, they thought, like, you know, they'll be like, well, I talked to this other foundation. They have me fill this out. I'm like, how long ago was that? They're like, 6 months.
Right.
Like, I do stuff in days, hours. Like, I don't mess around. I don't, if I say I'm going to do it, I do it. I don't make promises I can't keep. I look in to help people as much as I can, but I'm realistic at the same time. And I think people... I tell people all the time, when I get done talking to you on the phone, I want you smiling on the other end. I want you knowing that the sun shines out there. It doesn't have to be cloudy anymore. And there's help around the corner. And that's what I provide. I provide hope and help.
What do you think your percentages of how many people you can help compared to how many people like ask for help?
So, I mean, I guess I would say luckily, but not luckily, because I don't like it, because I like to help everyone.
Sure.
But luckily, not so many people know about us that I'm not getting like banged down on my door, because the problem is the funds, right? Especially during the pandemic, right? We didn't have our events. I live in an autoimmune household. Mm-hmm. My wife is sick. My younger son has an illness. I found out I'm autoimmune compromised. Didn't even know. So, you know, when you're looking at that, you can't run events. We weren't able to run anything for a couple of years. So right. I used to tell people it was P2 underground, because I was still helping people underground, still helping people, but we weren't getting any funds in, you know? And we had to cancel the biggest gala we were supposed to have. We were taking over the entire aquarium. And we canceled 10 days before the event. Okay. Everything got shut down. We canceled on the 10th. I believe we were supposed to have our event on the 20th, and I believe the state shut down on the 16th. So we lost all of that. Like all that, we had been building and building and building, and then it just came. That was it, you know? And other people could have like just quit. And I didn't let it. You know, I kept helping people, even to the point, I kind of made it fun because I was struggling myself. You know, I lost my entire career. Everything fell apart for me. Right. So I was kind of feeling it. And I was like, well, if I'm feeling it, I wonder how all these families are feeling it that we've helped in the past. So what I did is I created the P2 Stimulus Fund, and I sent over holiday time a credit card with an amount of money to every single family that we helped. And I told them, hey, listen, use it for whatever you want. If you need it for your bills, use it for your bills. If you need it for your kids' presents, use it for your kids' presents. Whatever you need it for, here you go. And I just sent it with a card telling them that I was thinking about them, telling them that they haven't been forgotten, that I know what they're going through. And it was just this, and people were blown away. But at the same time, I actually said this in my speech last year at my gala, they helped me. Like by being able to do that, that made me remember who I was, you know, and get myself back to who I was, because before pandemic, I was a motivational speaker. I was all these different things and I needed to find it back, and they helped me find it back. So, you know, a lot of times people say that I help the families, but I think the families and the grant recipients help me.
Oh, that's wonderful. Is this a full-time job for you, or is this just a part of everything else that you're doing? Did you get back to motivational speaking or something
different? So I still do. So I run a Facebook motivational page. I still do motivational speaking if I'm asked to. I now have a job in the oxygen field, because one of the companies that had been a supporter that I actually was a corporate fitness trainer for, and then was a supporter for some of my autism galas, they gave me a job when I had nothing, and I just started answering phones, and I worked my way through that company. So my full-time gig is, I'm in oxygen sales and customer service, but my other full-time job is I'm a personal trainer and group class instructor, and then a motivational speaker. And then my other full-time job is I do everything with P2.
So you just never rest.
I'm on the go pretty much 24/7.
That's awesome. That's really amazing. Can you tell us like what's your greatest success story that you have?
So to be honest with you, every story I have is my greatest success story. Right. I mean, I know it's not an answer that you're looking for, and I'll give you a better one in a second, but like when you're able to talk to somebody who's crying on the other end of the phone and is at their wit's end and they don't know what to do, and all you do is provide a listening ear, whether I help them or not, doesn't matter, right? But I'm there for them. I listen to them vent about the system, about what's going on, about their personal things that are going on. I'm a listening ear for them. And they tell you at the end, that made them 100 times better before I've even done anything. That to me is a success story, right? Because to me, any person that I meet in my life, whether it's through oxygen, whether it's through personal training, whether it's through motivational speaking, whether it's through P2, I want them better than when they first met me, right? Mm-hmm. I want to give, people tell me they should bottle my energy, right? And my passion, I want to give it to them and say, you too can feel the way that I feel. You too are, it's not hopeless. And look, if I can help you, how do you know that somebody else can't help you? And if I can put you in this path, this could put you on the right path to the right choices going forward that could change your life, right? And to me, that's success, right? Mm-hmm. That's success. But that's not the answer you want. The answer that you want is, it's actually a little bit of a sad story. So, when we first started, Puzzle Pieces Squared and everything in the beginning, like we had to just go through people that we got connected to or whatever, cause nobody knew who we were. Right. And I just wanted to give away money. Right. So, my wife at the time became very friendly with another mother, and we were able to help their non-communicative son start to kind of communicate with technology and iPads. And that was a way that her son was able to tell his mother that he loved her. And she had never heard it before. And when she reached out to us and told us that the iPad provided that and that it was, you know, the communication, I mean, there wasn't a dry eye. Like, my wife and I were bawling our eyes out. Now, unfortunately, her son lost his life. I'm going to get the years wrong, but a few years back, a little bit before our last gala. This kind of shows you what I've built with P2. Obviously, it was very sad. It's tragic. It's terrible. And my wife and I were there for Kim and anything that they needed. But the other thing that I did, is I created a grant/scholarship in honor of her son. So that anybody that gets any technology from us now, they're getting the Jacob Crudelli, they're getting that grant, and it's in honor of her son. And I mentioned that, and she was our guest, because once you are part of P2, you're P2 for life. Any grant recipient gets two tickets to our cocktail gala as our guest every year. So all the way from year one to the current year. So we, you know, technically we could have like 60, you know, 60 guests. And to me, I just wanted to keep growing. But she was there and we presented that grant and that honor. And it was an amazing thing that we could do. It's sad that we, and tragic on how it had to happen that way. But to me, he will always be a part of P2. And to me, I will never forget the fact that we were able to, that she was able to have that communication with her son.
And that legacy.
So would that be the answer you're looking for?
I think both of them were more than appropriate. I really respect the fact that, you know, every person makes such an impact. You know, I think about that with the people that we've worked with, you know, trying to pick like, who's my favorite client that I've worked with? You know, who is the best one? Like, there isn't, because they're all so unique and they touch our lives like all the time. But the fact that you were able to have that person, that family knows that there's that legacy that, you know, it will carry on to help so many other people and spread out. I think that's incredible. That's really amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing. I just didn't want, you know, I tried to come up with so many different things that I could do. And no matter what I was doing it, but it was only going to be for the moment. And I just really thought about it and tried to figure out, well, as long as P2 is around, this grant will be around.
Right.
You know, and that, and I was just like, it'll be forever. So same thing with my,
what can we do? Like somewhere like Interactive Kids, what can we do to help or anyone, our listeners to help?
So most important, you know, I think, is letting people know we exist. Mm-hmm. You know, every person that I help always says, I didn't even know about you. You know, and that's crazy, but at the same time, I get it, because I can't be throwing out money to advertise and I can't get out there, because my mission statement is to help these families, not advertise. So, you know, I get it that everybody knows who Autism Speaks is and everybody knows the bigger ones. And I understand that, but to let people know we're out there. And I guess the next thing would be, as you can see, I'm not afraid to talk to anybody about anything ever. So get me in front of a group of people. I'll talk to anybody. I don't care. You know, get me in front of 300 people, get me in front of 20 people, whatever. Get me in front of the right people, not just the right people that maybe could find out that we exist, but how about the right people that might be able to help us with funding, the right people that might be able to help us out with sponsoring. Like right now we're getting ready to do our next gala. And I'm always trying to figure out, well, where's the sponsors, where's the ads, where's the people that can help with that. You know, and that's really how you can help more families, right? Because if you make more, if you're able to cover your whole thing that you need to with the gala before you even walk through the door, then you don't need to worry. And that all that money can help families. But if I'm constantly trying to figure it all out and, you know, that whole, you know, take from Peter to pay Paul and that whole thing, like that's a big worry. So, you know, to me, get me in front of groups, get me in front of other people that might benefit. And then just support, you know, letting your individuals, like when you're talking to individual families, you know, maybe I can't help everybody. We know that, but who knows? Who knows if I can help them or not? You won't know until you try. So just stuff like that, I would think.
I think that's awesome. And, you know, you might know of resources that, although you might not be the appropriate people to provide, you know, financial support or what have you, you might be able to hook them up with somewhere else that would provide whatever they would happen to need. So I think it's good. You know, you seem like a networker. So I think that would be great.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, because one of the things that I also wanted to always do was I wanted to create like a community. Right. Mm-hmm. I wanted to create a community. So every single person, every grant recipient gets put into this group Facebook chat. I introduce every new person, everything. And like when they have a question, they go on there and they write, like they become each other's answers, you know, and hey, what do you think about this? Or do you know anything about that? And it's everywhere. Like some places are closer to the shore. Some people are closer to Delaware. Some are in PA, you know, so it's become this network and this community to let people know they're not alone.
And isn't that what we're all looking for, right? I mean, anybody to have those connections, it's necessary. Sure. So I think that's awesome. Sure. That's really great. Where would you like to see this going in the future? Like for you, like where do you always want to be the person in charge of it and involved in it? Would you like to see this turnkey over? Would you like to have your kids more involved if they were interested? I don't know if they're interested.
So I'm not a turnkey person. Okay. I need to have my fingers on the pulse of what's going on at all times. Yeah. I'm the one that makes, I do have a couple people on my committee, but I make the decisions. Like we'll discuss it, but like, if I don't like it, it doesn't happen. If mm-hmm. they want to bring something up, like I control the majority of the vote, because I never want it to change what I always saw it being, you know, it's a loose base, but can make such a difference in people's lives. And the more it becomes larger and larger and larger, the harder that is. Now, mm-hmm. that being said, it does have to become a little larger, because I can't keep, you know, the scales, you know, it's mm-hmm. always like, oh, well, now I'm here, but now wait, I'm trying to get back to here. Like the scales are tough. So I definitely would like to be able to help more people. I'd like to bring in a little bit more money. I'd like to get the notoriety of us out there. I like the funding to be better. But if I could get involved with more communities, if I could get involved with more school districts, if I can get involved with some more families, you know, and never have to turn anybody away just because maybe I'm not known so much. So maybe 100 people aren't reaching out to me, but maybe 10 are, and we can help all 10. You know, that would be kind of where I see it going. I just want my reach to be extended.
Mm, that's awesome. I mean, we run into like a lot of support services, sometimes even a little more money and things like that for the younger community, for those under 21. Do you see mm-hmm. that like adult independence? Like, I feel like once that we're trying to build into that, the services aren't there. I don't know if you've encountered that at all either.
So we're definitely more focused on the under 21, but only because when we started it, my kids were young. Uh-huh. And a lot of the families that we were helping, the kids were young. I can only think of a few that were over the age of 21 that we helped. But I think also some of that is a lot of parents, they don't really reach out when their kid are older. Like maybe they want some knowledge, or they're looking for a resource or a question, but they're not looking for the same funding than when the kids are younger. Now, maybe that's because there's so much more available for kids when they're younger. So yeah. Like, oh, well, you could do this, you could do that, you could do this, you could do that, music therapy, this therapy, respite care, ABA, occupational, like, you know, you have a hat full of things to do. When it's yeah. older, it's become more, like, you know, there's not as many options. So maybe that's why it's like that. But I have helped older. Also, you know, also I've come across other parents who have older kids. I actually do have one of my old personal training clients who has become a big supporter of Puzzle Pieces Squared, or P2. His son's older and on the spectrum, and he was going through all the different legal paperwork as your kid becomes 21. Mm-hmm. And he was actually writing up things for me that eventually he's going to give to me, and I'm just going to put it on my website as just a go-to guide, you know, to just try to help out that way. So I guess it's a two-part answer. It's harder to help early adults, like over the age of 21, even sometimes over the age of 18, depending. It's way easier to help younger. And I think parents are more into, oh, my kid could do music therapy or something along those lines, where it's harder to find the answers when they're older.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of our parents will describe it as falling over a cliff into the abyss after they hit 21, because all those, right, as you know, all those school services and everything drop off, and they're trying right, to figure out, what do we do next? And I know, I feel like down in this area, in the Linwood area, excuse me, that's where I am. I should probably tell you where I am. In Linwood area, we have Faces for Autism with Isabel, and her son's older than 21. I don't know. I don't quote me on how old he is. He's in his mid-20s. But right, they do a lot of stuff with like horseback riding and surfing and, yep, like all kinds of things, being in at the farm and things like that, to try to find activities, but not everybody can access that. So that's why I was asking that, to, like, is that something that you've encountered thus far, but maybe not so much yet?
I mean, I've given numerous checks to horse riding, mm-hmm, therapy. I've given numerous checks to music therapy, to what's the one? Swimming lessons, all this kind of stuff. I can't remember the one out in Medford that I've given a lot to. Oh my God, what is it called? I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but I have, and then I repeat, like, cause I'm so happy with them and have given it back to them, with other families as well. So horse riding is, you know, therapy is a big yeah, one. Cause I love animals, and, you know, a lot of special needs kids love animals. When my son, was growing up, and the picture might still be on my website, you just have to find it under, at the time when I got this idea that I was going to journal, but then we stopped journaling, there was a picture of my son with all of our animals, and they all were like congregating around him. Like, he's sitting on the couch, and all of a sudden the cat's next to him, and the dog's here, and the other dog's here. And it was crazy. And it's amazing because, you know, kids, you know, autism, they're great with animals. Animals are just an amazing therapy, in my opinion. Yeah. And so I'm always giving back to that. That is a big, and we've always had tons of animals in our house. So,
yeah, that's wonderful. I'm so glad you do swimming as well, because that's such a safety concern. There's so many individuals, mm-hmm, who drown. So it doesn't have to be swim. It can be swim lessons where you're learning to possibly, sure, participate in a team. It's just really that safety, the water safety, to be able to get to the side of the water, get out of the water, which is awesome. That's great that you.
Yeah. I mean, like I was saying, like, it's life skills. Like, we've done cooking, like teaching kids how to cook, just different things. Somebody had me look into, but we ended up not doing it, but like helping budget, you know, just different things that are life skills. But yeah, I'm not against, listen, as far as I'm concerned, the more the insurance says they won't pay it, I will.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are the things that I try to do. You know, I have so many people that benefit from music therapy, mm-hmm, and insurance doesn't pay that, no, you know, so just stuff like that. I'm always up, and it's not that I wouldn't help more adolescent individuals or more children that are over 21. I would. It just depends on who reaches out and what I can do at the time, and, you know, and what's going on.
Okay. In addition to P2, is there anybody else that you'd like to, you know, talk about? Anybody, any other service providers or anything else out there in the special needs community you'd want to mention?
So I mean, I come into contact with people all the time. I'm an open door policy. I welcome anybody. And, but the people that I've used, one that I'm working with now, we haven't put an event together yet, but, we have started talking, and that's, Paint Ground in Pittman, okay. Brandy, I believe her name is. And, we've been going kind of back and forth. She discovered me through a mutual friend, and then, but you're able to express yourself through art there. And, she's working on some different things sensory wise. And I think it's a great concept. Awesome. So that's one I'd like to give a shout out to. And then the other who has helped me in the past, and that's Fun and Function. I actually, they did a blog on me and they interviewed me, and the owner, she's very nice, and they have always been great. And I've done some sensory equipment through schools through them. I've done actually a sensory room in someone's house through them, and they're a great company as well.
All right, we'll have to check them out. That's great.
Yeah. Jared, I just found the paint ground like a month ago, just looking for activities to do with my kids. It looks so cool. She posted a bunch of pictures. It's in Pittman. It looks like you go there and you can, you know, wear like a smock or not. And it's just like paint everywhere. Like Jackson Pollock would love something like this. Yeah, so it looks
You can just be yourself. Yeah. And a lot of times these kids, they're not allowed to be themselves sometimes. Like where they go, there's rules. There's no rules. You know, it's just, you can just express. And I really thought it was a really great concept. And, you know, her and I are talking about collaborating and doing some different stuff. But, you know, people get busy and stuff. I just let her know I'm out there, and I'm going to reach out to her later today. Let her know I gave her a shout out.
Yes. Awesome. Yeah. We'll put that in the link in the notes. So they're linked.
Sure. Sure.
That's great. Thank you. So is there anything that you wanted to share that we haven't asked you that thus far?
I mean, it's been pretty, it's been a pretty good summary, I think. You know, I think just the message that, you know, I want to convey to these families, school districts, teachers, they're not alone. You know, a lot of them feel alone. My wife and I, we felt alone. We felt stuck. And it was learning that me feeling stuck, that I could do something to help so many other people because of my feeling, you know, and it, in a way, it helped me get unstuck. You know, all of them feel alone. The other is to get as engaged as possible in the community. There are people, families just like you, that are feeling shut in and feeling alone, but they're looking for people to get involved with. They're looking for people that are like, hey, listen, there's this group, there's this community. Hey, what about this play date? What about this or that? I think that a lot of times people feel like kind of shut in. And I think it doesn't have to be that way. So to me, it's, there's help out there, there's hope out there, and there's other people that are looking for just the same thing you are. They just don't know how to find it. And that's my goal. So if I can convey that, that would be my message.
All right. That's
and then also, let me just give a shout out to my next gala coming up. So my next gala, it's at V at Chesapeake in Philadelphia. It's a very, very, very top-notch, very nice place.
It is. Yeah, that's a good one.
It's open bar. It's that we have silent auction. We have baskets, raffles, everything. You name it, it goes on there. You come hungry, you leave like you can't believe it. You can't believe the spread. It's just an incredible thing.
Let's go. Let's go, girls.
We got the invite. Basically, Jared sent them out months ago.
When is it?
I did. I sent the save the date. Yes. It's the invitations come out in April. But it is one event that takes care of all of our families for the next year. So I try to tell everybody, you got to come. Now, yes, I know some people look at it and they're like, you know, it's not cheap, but it's going to an amazing cause. And once you go, I've never had anybody tell me they wouldn't come back. Mm-hmm. It only keeps getting bigger and bigger. Like I said, we started at a condo room at King's Grant, and now we're at V at Chesapeake. So it should show you that it's constantly growing. So please, marketing your calendars. It's a Friday, because I never want anybody to give up their weekend. So it's Friday night. It's an amazing, you know, bring your significant other, bring your friends, whatever. It's an amazing thing. There's emotion. There's fun. It's fantastic.
So it's June 14th at 6:30, right?
Yep, it ends 6:30 to 11, correct.
Okay. And how much is it?
I don't quote me on price right now, because I don't know it. Invitations. I know I already created it, but I gave it to my stationery person, and now it's out of sight, out of mind. but
it doesn't matter. It's all for it's all for a good cause, and it gets turned around and goes right back to those who need it.
And
yeah,
and when I say it goes right back, I'm talking 98% probably goes back to these families. I say that there's 2% because, of course, I got to make flyers or I got to make something, but 98% of everything donated probably goes to try this community, your neighborhood. It could be your next door neighbor. And then the other thing is also, you don't need to worry about parking in Philly because I pay for you to have valet parking.
That's even better. Wow. That's so nice. Yeah. Yeah. So what if someone wants to be like a sponsor or donor or help to support it? Maybe they can't go, or maybe they can go, but they'd still like to be some kind of sponsor. How do they do that?
So if you want to be a sponsor, there's two different ways you could do it. The easiest way is to email attention myself, Jared, at puzzlepiecessquared@gmail.com. Okay. So just email me and say, hey, I'm interested in, you know, in sponsoring, or ads would be amazing. I always look for ads for the program, you know, stuff like that. Or maybe they have a business and they want to donate items for a basket, silent auction, any of that stuff. I take anything. I tell people all the time, you can give me a $10 Dunkin' Donuts gift card all the way up to a $250 spa day. Doesn't matter to me. I will make it work. We can use it for something. The other is the Facebook page too. I get all those messages as well. So you can like contact me through the Facebook page and then I'll get back to you.
And what is your Facebook page?
It's I believe it's under, it's P2 Autism Advocacy and Support. Okay. That's the Facebook page. I believe the Instagram also, but I believe that's under, I think that's still under Puzzle Pieces Squared.
Okay. Logan will put links to all that as well as your website too.
And yeah. There's a LinkedIn too.
Okay. And you can definitely count us in. We'll definitely give you a basket and let us know more about the sponsorship stuff from Interactive Kids.
Yeah. No, I think I sent it. I sent it to Rachel or not.
Okay.
I think I did, but I'll resend it. Sure.
Cool. That's great. I mean, I love it. I think I love anything that can go right back to it. Cause we see the other side. I mean, we see what you see. We see the families who can't do the things that they would like to, because the funding just isn't there and they're working, not even paycheck to paycheck, and they can't really do it. And like your heart breaks for them. And it's just really hard. And to lighten that load a little bit, you know, what you do, it's just incredible. And thank you so much for doing that.
No, I mean, I always tell people when they thank me, I tell them I'm just doing my small part to make it a little bit easier for people. You know, there's a lot of people, you don't know what straw is going to break the camel's back. You don't know what just giving a lending, helping hand will do for somebody. And it is true. Like, I've had people that reach out to me and they're like, you have no idea how much you helped me. And I'm like, I'm thinking it's nothing. Like, you know, like, I'm like, oh, you know, no problem, you know, whatever. And, you know, and it's just amazing what a difference you can make in people's lives, what a kind gesture can do.
Well, now it's Logan's turn. Logan's got her rapid fires, which I know you've been waiting for.
Most anticipated.
I'm so excited to get all of these. I was saying to my wife Trish, I said, babe, this is like when you're watching at home Wheel of Fortune or Jeopardy, and you're sitting there and you know all the answers, but if you were on the show, you can't answer anything.
That's true.
That's what it's gonna be. You know, I can see it now.
And you know, it's a new season, so these questions aren't the same as the ones you got to listen to. What is something on your bucket list?
My bucket list. I guess something on my bucket list would be to take my wife to Paris.
Ooh, what would you do in Paris?
It wouldn't really be all about me. It's about my wife. She's always wanted to go. She mentions it all the time. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to do anything like that. But my world is to make her happy. So I'd like to try to do that.
Beautiful.
Good husband.
Yeah, you can stay. What words?
Thank you.
We approve. What word do you get told you pronounce wrong?
Well, I'm not going to tell you it's a word I pronounce wrong. I'm going to tell you that I create my own words. So I have words like agreeance, which isn't a word, but my feeling is it exists because if I use it in a sentence, you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
So my wife calls it my Jaredism. So I'm going to call my own words to mispronounce the normal ones.
Jaredisms.
Wait, can you use it in a sentence? Use that word in a sentence. What does that mean?
We're in agreement.
Like, you know, you and I were talking, we're in agreement on this situation. Ah. It's not. Okay. It's not a word.
Well, I support that. I co-sign that word. So it exists.
Right. I have other ones too that aren't on the tip of my tongue right now in this rapid fire, but they're all work. Like people are like, you think about it for a second and you're like, wait, that doesn't exist. Like, you know, and you know, I like it because you believe me, so it works.
What is your hidden talent?
My hidden talent. I guess I would say my real hidden talent is the way I motivate people. You know, no matter who I talk to, no matter what it is, every single person says that once you talk to him, like once you talk to me, you're just a different, you just think about things differently. So I guess my hidden talent is to find the inner spirit in people, the good in people, and help bring it out or bring out what I know they have that they don't know they have right now.
What is the worst present you have ever received?
Oh boy. My mother's not gonna like this one. So I guess I would say the worst present I ever received was I lived in an apartment and I wanted a dog, and I lived in an apartment and we couldn't get a dog. I knew we couldn't get a dog. And my parents got this idea to buy me this robot dog, and they gave it to me for Hanukkah as my big present. Here you go. Here's this robot dog, which did nothing. It would walk up to a wall and just bark. It did absolutely nothing. It wouldn't turn around. It wouldn't do anything. It was probably a big waste of money. And then when I ended up getting a real dog, at the time I got a Boston Terrier, my Boston Terrier like tore it apart. It did not like that it was being represented.
What would the name be of your reality TV show?
The Silverstein Saga. Can you tell that I've already thought about my own reality show?
He already has a plan down.
It's coming.
I tell people that hear the way my life goes and what happens and just everything, they're like, oh my God, this would be the greatest show ever. They're like, your presence on it, oh my God, people would be just watching it like crazy.
Yeah. What do you think something that people misunderstand about you is?
I think that my appearance and the way that I am so passionate and like aggressive and energetic and whatever, a lot of times people are a little taken back in the beginning. They're like, oh no, he's really a nice guy. Did you see him walking down the street? No, I'm not talking to him. Like I'm a big guy and I'm in your face and I'm like that kind of presence. And I think sometimes it's misunderstood that, you know, I can be a nice guy. Like, mm-hmm. You just got to get to know me. So I think sometimes the way I approach things and the way I am with things, like it's got to be my way. That's my passion. You know, and I think sometimes it's misunderstood, not to a negative, but just to where people don't understand it initially.
Right. If your pet could talk, what would they say about you?
Man, my animals see a lot. I think all of them would get together and they would basically just say, man, my dad, he's got some weird habits. He's got weird counting going on. He's got weird, everything has to be a certain way. He has to do this. He has to do that. Like everything's in a routine. Man, I wonder if he realizes that it's us that keeps messing everything up. on purpose, you know, because yeah. I do believe that the animals do communicate. I don't have a video camera or anything, but I do believe there's more to the secret life of pets than's let on.
I know so. What is not a big deal to most, but torture to you?
Torture to me. I'm not very good with mess and like drippy liquids and like for example, like a fountain at a wedding with the chocolate dripping down, like that makes me like sick. I'm like disgusted by it. Melted ice cream that my son does in front of me on purpose makes me like I have to cover it with a menu. Like, yeah, that's nothing to some, and I get so like disgusted by it. I can't deal. I have to leave the room, walk away, something. Yeah, that would be it.
I don't know what I thought you were going to say, but I don't know that that was.
I'm hoping at the gala they have a nice big chocolate fountain for you.
We will never have a chocolate fountain. I think it is one of the most disgusting things you can have. Never. Never. I will never do that, but hopefully that was a good answer for you.
Yeah. It was great. What is your life motto?
So my life motto is basically everyone you meet, when you leave, they are better. You know, no matter what the situation is, doesn't matter. I want to help everyone. So my motto is don't give up. And my other motto is, which I I'm good to see that Arnold Schwarzenegger agrees with me in his book, The Seven Tools of Life, but there's no plan B, because if there is, you already gave up on plan A.
That's it.
Well, thank you. We want to thank you, Jared, so much for being on here. Everybody check out Puzzle Pieces Squared, P2, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, your website. You know, I just really think that you're a great addition to this world. And I am so inspired by your journey. So thank you.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, I appreciate you guys giving me the time, especially in the evening hours to fit my schedule. So thank you for that. My hope is that people listen to this and, you know, I've done many podcasts, I've done TV interviews, I've done some different things. And my hope always is that when somebody that's watching or listening realizes that there's help out there and they reach out.
That's cool. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Jared. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
This was great. This was great.
Thanks for listening. Looking for more? Be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast app and Instagram at The Interactive Journey. Questions, comments, or want to be a guest on our show? We'd love to hear from you. You can message us at podcast@interactivekids.com or on Instagram at The Interactive Journey.